Welcome, this is Josh Rees with Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. For more information about our church, please visit our website, milehighchurch.org.
Today we continue our two-week series. Today's week two, where we're visiting our initiative that has woven its way through our wonderful Mile High community this year, through classes and messages and activities that we've been doing on evolved communication. It's an opportunity for us to look at the ways in which we communicate, listening to our inner voice and expressing ourselves in the world. And one of the great things about this initiative is that I think if we look at what the world is yearning for right now, it is yearning for powerful communication. It's yearning for evolved communication. A lot of the communication we see is not so evolved right now. It's arguing and infighting and divisiveness and disconnect and separation. Evolved communication brings us into connection with ourselves and other beings. And so we are looking at this from the place of this series, The Art of Sacred Listening. One of the parts of the Evolved Communication Initiative is listening to myself compassionately. And so we're listening and listening to the world compassionately today. I wanted to explore this opportunity. And Reverend Carol just finished a wonderful class on sacred listening. So how many of you were in that class? Anyone here who were in that class? A number of people were here at the beginning of the first service. So it was a great class and offered great things. And last week in the series when we began it, the art of sacred listening began by the inner voice. We explored how to more powerfully and profoundly get connected to the inner voice that is the center of us, the connectedness within us, the divine presence, the higher self, the God presence in us. And I asserted that by doing that, we then can be a more powerful version of ourselves as we walk out in the world and feel our guidance to live our life and make decisions and do what we do. And during the week, I found a wonderful quote from the great Ralph Waldo Emerson that I think summarizes what I was attempting to say last week. He says, "None of us will ever accomplish anything excellent or commanding except when he listens to this whisper, which is heard by him alone." It's listening so profoundly to the inner aspect of us that we move forward by our own guidance, and that we understand that that guidance is the sacred divine in us and as us. And this week, we're exploring outer voices. The voice that appears to us in this human form to be rising from the other. Though we know from our spiritual principles, technically, there is no other. It's all one presence, one power, one being expressing. Yet, we humans have the distinction of being consciously aware that there appears to be me, this inner me, and what's going on out there. And though we may tend to relate to it often from separation, a huge part of evolved spirituality and of sacred listening is to allow ourselves to anchor ourselves so profoundly in oneness and connection that the outer voice begins to have new meaning for us and new power for us. See, what's true about being a human being, I've noticed, is that we dance immediately upon being birthed with being influenced by people around us. We see that people around us have great influence, and much of that influence is based in fear and authority. And it makes sense. We're little beings who, we're one of the few species who upon our birth, we still have a lot of development to take place in our body and in our brain, and our whole neurological system is still developing. And so while it's developing, people around us must guide us, support us, give us input about what it means to be human. And I don't know about you all, but I know some of the advice I got wasn't so great. Some of it was born out of humans around me who were challenged themselves or who shared their generational drama and trauma, their fears, who taught me about authority from power and control versus authority from centeredness, who were challenged themselves. And so what happens, I think, the huge part of this being human is a lot about, as we grow and evolve, discovering the other voices that influenced us and which of those voices we choose to lean into and which of those voices we choose to let go of. And that's a huge part of the inner listening that I talked about last week. It's transcending the unhealed past. But what happens to us is when that unhealed past is activated still within us, many of the other voices are there as a helpful, although it doesn't always feel that way, influence for us to do that healing work. There's a common phrase in personal growth that says, I may not have installed that button, but I know I just pushed it, right? We know if a voice that appears to be the other has activated that button within us, because we often will feel discomfort, defensive, angry, frustrated, a desire to react rather than respond. And what we get to understand is in this human evolutionary journey that evolved spirituality and evolved communication is learning about my buttons and learning to deactivate them such that I become more centered as I listen to any voice, whether it be the voice of someone that I love and respect, someone that I live with, the voice of the collective, the voice of some world leader, the voice of my boss, or the voice of my mama or my daddy or my grandmama, whatever it might be. When I am in that centered place and have deactivated some of those interior landmines, they don't blow up in my life. And what blowing up looks like is just unhealed communication, anger, conflict, defensiveness, meanness, resentment. So I learn to do that work and learn to lean into an understanding that every voice is what we label here sometimes in the work that we do, the VOG, the voice of God. When Jennifer and Rama are talking about a voice that's going to be speaking that may be disembodied in our work, some announcing voice saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome." That's the voice of God in this situation. But what I suggest to us is that every voice we hear is the voice of God. Even those, I know you're thinking about some voices that you're going, I don't know if that's the voice of God. But here's how it's the voice of God. Sometimes the voice of God seeks to push those buttons to remind us of where our healing really is. Sometimes the voice of God is that person that we hear talking on social media, on the news, just overhearing, that is saying something that is drastically different than we think is the truth about life and about the world. And we think, well, the voice of God over there is really wrong. In reality, the voice of God that I'm hearing is helping me to hear my own reaction to them and inviting me to evolve. That invitation to evolve looks like, I don't like what God is saying right now. Looks like, I think that's horrible. And it's not ever that we don't respond to that voice of God that seems to be different than us. No, it's not that. It's not that we don't say anything. It's how we say it. It's where we come from when we do say it. And what we know is that when we are hearing the voice of God and we want to lash out and react, we're having one of those buttons pushed. So today I'm inviting us to look at some practices that we can come from that can help us be the more centered, kind of zen aspect of human interaction, such that we can be a contribution to evolved listening on this planet. Because here's what I know. Every time we react to someone, whether it's someone we know and love, from a place of resentment and anger and conflict that gets unresolved, and especially repeated conflict, it's not that we all have to agree, it's how we disagree. Do we disagree respectfully or do we disagree with animosity? That's the difference right there. And one is continuing to contribute to the illusion of separation on this planet and the illusion that we cannot solve the problems we face. And another is saying, I am going to be a part of the evolutionary journey of collective connectivity that we can allow the diversity to exist while we remain intact from a heart space and a spiritual space. It's a choice. It's a daily choice these days, isn't it? An ongoing choice. So here are some of the things that I think help us to make the choice for sacred listening, compassionate listening, and the evolutionary journey of humanity. The first one is actually the same one that I used last week as the first one, silence. Last week I suggested that people who practice silence in their life hear the inner voice as it attempts to speak. And I would suggest to us also that silence can become a framework, a baseline of energetic that can be with us as we make attempts to really listen and hear one another. What silence is not is the part of me that's already arguing with you before you've even finished talking, right? That's not silence. Silence is a state of beingness, a state of presence with another person that I can call upon at any moment, even in conflict, even in disagreement. It's a silence that allows me to be in the space of my own inner wisdom and truly in the space of the conversation and hear what's between the words that are spoken. This author, Alfred Brendel, in Musical Thoughts and Afterthoughts, put it so beautifully. He said, I like the fact that listen is an anagram of silent. Silence is not something that is there before the music begins and after it stops. It's the essence of the music itself, the vital ingredient that makes it possible for the music to exist at all. See, conversation with other human beings, talking together, is part of the music of life. And being able to establish that sense of silence within a conversation is true listening to one another. It's being so present to each other that I can even let a word be silent before I speak, that I can hear, I can understand that silence isn't just when no one's talking, it's also the undergirding energy and anchoredness of the conversation. So practicing silence. The next one can be very challenging. Listen more, talk less. This is an ongoing affirmation that I have for myself, that I teach people who are working with groups, our practitioner prayer partners. We talk a lot when we lead a group here. When I leave the conversation, did I listen more and talk less? And if I did, then I know it was a great group. In conversations with other human beings, did I listen more and talk less? When I leave a conversation and I've talked and didn't listen, I always challenge myself to do better next time. When I'm in conversations where someone just talks and doesn't ever listen to me, I know I don't feel seen. I don't feel heard. And so endeavoring to listen to each other and talk less, again, going back to not mounting what I'm going to say next and what I really want you to know and what I really got to be sure you understand, rather than doing that, just being present to each other and truly listening and hearing. And I know I mentioned this in a message I did in June, but it bears repeating for all human beings. It's avoiding advice giving. Advice giving is not listening. Now, I know sometimes we're placed in roles of authority. We are parents, or we are in some situation where people are looking to us, or we think they are. But what I've discovered about this life is that people yearn to be seen and heard. They don't yearn to be told what to do. Think about that for ourselves. In terms of other voices, do I feel good when someone constantly is telling me what they think I should be doing? I don't feel heard. When I feel corrected, a woman at the first service said to me that it took her a while to understand. I love this. She said someone told her as a grandmother that advice is criticism. I thought that was so beautiful and wise. That when we give unsolicited advice, it is a form of criticism. Now, it's not that we never give advice. It's just that if someone asks for our advice, of course we share it. If we feel a compulsion to give it, at least we invite ourselves to say, I have some ideas about this. Would you like to hear them before we just give them? That we are more interested in hearing and listening to our kids, to our partners and spouses, to our friends, to our family members, to the people that we work with. I'm more interested in listening. When I think about this from a human standpoint, and I've done so many memorials over the years, I think one of the greatest compliments that people ever give after someone has died is that that person really listened to me. I felt really heard by them. I felt really seen by them. And I think in our heart of hearts, most of us want the people that we love and care for to feel that way. So we have to pay attention to that dance, and we have to recognize that other people may try to give us advice too, and that we can just listen to that with love. Just take it in with love. Ann Landers said, after 42 years of writing 7 columns a week, I still find writing this column immensely rewarding. I realize that many people who write to me don't want advice. They just need someone who will listen. So when we are in the practice of being another voice for other people, we can practice listening more, talking less. The next one is healthy evaluation. Here's the reality of life. The way things are set up, none of us are getting out of here without somebody criticizing us or giving us some evaluation of what we're doing, of what we're saying, of how we look, of how we think, of how we talk, of what we want, what we believe. It's just an ongoing part of the practice. So for me, evolved communication and evolved spirituality is all about making sure that I'm not somebody who is compulsively feeling the need to give people criticism and input. Mostly, I want people to feel loved. That's what I want. I want people to feel loved. And part of how some of us love each other is to give each other input. So when someone is giving us input or advice and we're hearing it, I know because of our unhealed past, we can feel very damaged and hurt by it, and we can take it really personally. And yet, the reality is, when we work for someone, they're going to give us input and advice. That's part of it. When we're in relationships, it may come up that people give us evaluations and criticisms. But we get to ultimately be the one who says, what input or criticism is true, and am I going to use it for the betterment of my journey here, or am I just going to talk to the hand? I don't take input. I don't take criticism. I'm not listening. And how dare they? Rather than that, I'm going to be centered. I'm going to stay present. I'm going to be in the silence, even with this criticism that's coming my way, and take it in and ask myself, is there some truth to it? The truth is, it's the same for praise. The other voices that give us praise. I know that sometimes I've done something and somebody's praising me greatly for it, but in my heart of hearts, I know I could have done better. I made a mistake within it, or I didn't bring my best. And I get to not just take in that praise and go, oh, good, since they said it was great, then it must have been great. I get to be in that space of centeredness. That's healthy evaluation. That as a human being, I'm always seeking to become a better version of myself and to recognize that people will criticize, people will give input, and that's a part of the game of life. That's a part of the human condition. And that I will be evolved in my receivership of it, and I will take it in, and I will use it for my betterment, and I will be light and easy and be conscious as I listen to the input that comes my way. I love the way a gentleman handled this. I saw this story from Reader's Digest. Joe Prentice writes that a pastor in a rural Tennessee town passed away suddenly, and the community just insisted that Joe's uncle step in until they could find a new pastor. And this uncle was not very excited to do this, but he was the senior deacon of the community, and so he accepted the challenge. And he approached his first Sunday with a lot of reluctance. And Joe says that he also knew that he was going to probably get a lot of criticism since he'd never done this before at his feeble attempts to fill the pastor's shoes. So here's how Joe's uncle handled it. He did not come unprepared. He said to the community, "How many of you have brought a pencil?" And people raised their hand with the pencil. And then he said, "And a piece of paper." And he said that people pulled out envelopes and shopping lists and little notes. And he continued, "Okay, good. Now, we're going to have a contest," he says. "I want you to listen very carefully this morning and make note of any mistake that I might make and write it down on the piece of paper." And he says, "Don't hold anything back. The more critical your list, the better." He says, "The list will be taken up at the end of the service," and he then fixed the congregation with a stern gaze, and he paused for effect, Joe says. And he said to them, "And the one who has made the longest list will win the grand prize of getting to preach next Sunday." We get to understand that people are people. And through their unhealed past, sometimes the other voices we hear are voices of criticism. And we get to be with it and hear it and take it in and allow ourselves to process it. Just because someone says it doesn't make it true. Sometimes people are pointing out places we need to grow, places we need to improve. And that's okay too. We can allow that because we're a person who understands I want to be the greatest version of myself. And I want to hear if there are ways that I can do better in this relationship with this person that I say that I'm madly in love with. This person that I'm helping to bring into the world. This person that I'm guiding on the path. This person that I'm serving in this employment situation. I want to be the best version of myself. Therefore, I want to hear if I need to make improvements and not be defensive or push it away. The next one is continue our healing work. There's a lot of polarity and divisiveness going on in the world. I understand that. I've seen it. I've witnessed it, gotten caught up in it at times myself. What I've noticed about this is that the more triggered people are, the less logical they are. And so we see in a lot of realms in human interaction, a lot of triggered people, a lot of people who are afraid. They're afraid for our future. They're afraid for our way of life. They're afraid that things are going to change drastically. They're afraid of our death even at times. And out of that fear, when triggered, might say things that just don't seem very logical to us. Or maybe we are some of those people. So we get to pay attention to that. The more triggered I am, sometimes the less logical I am. The more I just spout things that are just not true. And we can have love and compassion and hear that and allow ourselves to be aware that we want to step out of divisiveness and into oneness, and therefore we hear the energy behind people who are triggered in personal conversations, on social media, even in the media itself. We can see. Sometimes I know if I look into the eyes of someone who's just spouting fear and fear and fear, I can see in the eyes how afraid they are. And rather than making them wrong for being afraid, I want to send them prayers. I want to send them light. Maybe what they're saying will happen. Maybe it won't. But What matters most is, am I willing to be a being of light and presence to them in that moment, even if they're not even in my space? Am I willing to listen with my heart and see behind the words of that person and be that presence? Am I checking on myself and who I'm being in the midst of what people are spouting when they get caught up in divisiveness? And I'm continuing to dismantle my buttons, as we were talking about earlier, and allowing myself to just be a presence. Pema Chodron, the wonderful Buddhist nun, in her book, Comfortable with Uncertainty, says so powerfully, when people are talking at us, and even when they're criticizing us, or they're making us wrong, or they're spouting fear, or they're talking exactly the opposite of what we think, that a huge part of our personal work is to learn to be the witness. A huge part of sacred listening is just witnessing what's happening, witnessing what they're saying, witnessing what I'm feeling and thinking, and being a witness to it all. And in that work, she says, you're the only one who knows what is opening and closing down. You're the only one who knows. One kind of witness is everybody else giving you his or her feedback and opinions. This is worth listening to. There's some truth in what people say. The principal witness, however, is you. You're the only one who knows when you're opening and closing. You're the only one who knows when you're using things to protect yourself and keep your ego together, and when you're opening and letting things fall apart, letting the world come as it is, working with it rather than struggling against it. You're the only one who knows. So in the art of sacred listening, we listen to the voice of the other and allow ourselves to remain open. Which brings me to the last one, listening as a form of meditation, allowing ourselves to stay in that space and allowing ourselves to be conscious and aware of the voices of the other that we check in with. I know for sure that on a day when I have listened to the voices of negativity about the state of the world more than the voices of positivity, that I myself am tempted to embody and embrace that woe is me, woe are we kind of energy. And it's not very meditative. It's not very centering. And so we must, just as we actively meditate in our lives and actively enter into spiritual practice, I think a huge part of listening is to consciously choose to balance the other. See, no one is all good or all bad. No condition that we hear about is all good or all bad in terms of the human definition of good and bad. Everything has its centered point, and we too can get lopsided when we don't allow ourselves to balance out almost in a meditative fashion. I'm willing to be present to the challenges that we're facing on the planet, but I'm also going to be as present to the good that's happening on the planet. I'm going to listen to voices of hope. I'm going to listen to voices of inspiration. I'm going to listen to music and things that uplift my heart and help me feel centered. Not so that I can be some Pollyanna who's not aware of what's happening, so that I can be more centered in my energy, like a meditation, a walking, living, breathing, meditational presence to life. That's it. I urge us to understand that the part of sacred listening is to be the presence in form as we take in what we hear on the planet, in our lives, from the beloveds we share this life with. That it's a continued practice, a continued work. I'm up for it. I'm committed to it. And I know that when we commit to this, we build a better world. A connected world, a world of love, a world of light, a world where we together can solve the challenges that we're facing. I believe this with my whole heart and soul. Let us pray. And so, as we step into this holy, sacred space right here and right now. We feel that energy having its way with us, opening our mind and heart to the possibilities that we can be the art of sacred listening in practice, in action at all times. For this is how the very presence of life is being with us and in us and as us, and indeed all beings everywhere. And so we embrace the voice of the other this day. We allow ourselves to see that truly there is no other, that the voice that we hear is the constant voice of God speaking to us, calling to us, inviting us to continually center ourselves and do the holy sacred work within ourselves to be a centered presence of life as we go forth in every relationship, in every activity, as we serve this world, giving our gifts and talents, as we express ourselves fully. We are the beautiful music and presence of life, sacredly expressing, being, connecting through our willingness to hear deeply and profoundly the love, the light, the wholeness, seeking expression from all beings at all times. I give thanks for the joyous truth of this that propels us forward to walk out into our world from this place this day and to be this active sacred presence. I'm so grateful for each one of us taking this on, manifesting this in our lives, right here and right now. And therefore, I release this word. I release this word into that law that makes it so. I release it in absolute faith and trust. I release it knowing that it is done right here and right now. We let go, we let it be, and so it is. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Mile High Church podcast. This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners like you. To make a donation, please visit milehighchurch.org.